Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And Tosh and I are we're 1-3, tough schedule, and it just keeps coming, Tosh.
Oh, yeah. It's not letting up. People are overlooking this Toledo team, too. I mean, we've got another tough opponent. I think, though, that... is this the fan talking, though, that I think that we are one of the toughest 1-3 teams in the country?
Oh, yeah. No, great 1-3 team.
But yeah. We are still, at the end of the day, 1-3.
Yeah. No, it's... we're 1-3. Let's talk about that. One of the big narratives after the game is that there was a lot of conversation about the team needs to learn how to win close games. What do you think of that narrative, Tosh?
I mean, makes some sense. It's a good thing to say. I think more important than it comes down to you have to have players make a play in critical moments.
That's it.
And we have not had that. You know, I guess in Arizona, we had that. We had some defensive players make big plays.
But that's
in big
the
moments.
Point.
We're not doing enough.
I don't like to learn how to win close games because is it a skill?
Yeah, it's not.
Like, there's people that tend to make big plays when the team really needs it.
It's not like after a game, too, that you can say, you know, something clicked. We have learned.
We learned how to do it. Well, my thing is...
Now we just know how to do that.
Like, did we know how to do it against Arizona and then somehow lose the knowledge of how to do that against the next three teams? Like, it's kind of a weird...
As much as football is a team sport, at the end of the day, it is about an individual outperforming what he's supposed to do and the guy that's supposed to stop him. And just making a game changer.
So is the answer that the only person on the BYU team that knows how to win close games is Jake Oldroyd?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right.
And he was hurt this week, so the only guy that knew how to win close games is not out there.
Whenever I think about winning and losing close games, there's a couple things. We won like almost all of our close games last year. I believe we had 5 games where we were down or tied going into the fourth quarter where we ended up winning the game. So, you know, there's that. We were able to win close games last year. So is it the coaching staff that needs to learn? My thing is whenever it's close games, my brain always goes to red zone efficiency. And yeah, BYU is number one in the country in red zone efficiency. We've scored every time we've gotten in the red zone. The problem is touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's touchdowns. We keep bringing field goals to a touchdown fight, you know? I think the Cougars are 58%. That's the bottom half of all of college football when it comes to scoring touchdowns. We're one of the best at hitting our field goals when we get to the red zone. You don't want that. You want to flip that 100%. So it's getting it in the end zone. You know, it's one of those things when we... Over the last 13 games, when we have third and goal, we don't really punch it in with Taysom Hill. Last 13 games with Taysom Hill, we've scored on 2 of our last 8 third and goals. So, and we missed one this game. And the times we've gotten in, we handed it off to Jamal. So it's really interesting.
I heard an interesting thing on third and goal that one coach called it, it's really a 4-point play.
Yeah.
And we have not been able to score four-point plays this year, or we haven't been able to score 2-point plays either.
And so, there's that, too. And that was a big moment for the team as well. You know, we went for 2 in the third quarter. What did you think of the decision?
I was actually fine. I was fine with it. The announcers were poking fun at it and things, but at the same time, it was deep enough into the game. I would have been fine to try to tie it up. Obviously, it bit us in the freaking butt. But, yeah, we suck at two-point conversions.
Yeah, I mean, if we would... Well, yeah, so we've called a quarterback draw. We've called a fade. And we've also called a weird...
goal line reverse.
Reverse Mitch Juergens pass to Taysom Hill. So, it's been a weird... Some weird play calls on the two-point conversions. If they get the first one, though, to Nick Kurtz... First of all, a fade is always a low percentage play just anyway. Compound that with what it takes to throw a really good catchable fade and who we have throwing our football. It was like a really low percentage play. Yeah. Like, could there have been a less likely play to be successful in that scenario?
I mean, yes, the reverse pass. but I don't love the fade.
Yeah, the fade's not great. The fade is not great. Well, I have to tell you, after West Virginia, it's the weirdest that I have felt after a game in a while. I think everyone's feeling a little frustrated. I'm frustrated with BYU football, Tosh. And you know what? I'm starting to feel like that this season is just a retirement tour season. an unprecedented occurrence in college sports. I can't imagine that it's ever happened ever anywhere else. Fans get to watch an old favorite still try to hang on, Tosh, and it's clear that Taysom's body isn't the same, but every once in a while he turns back the clock and houses a long run, or he jumps over defenders while scrambling, and it's fun to remember what it was like. But, you know, fans and coaches alike, they allow him to continue to play in appreciation for his loyalty and gratitude for the great moments of the years gone by.
I think you're hitting on truth, no doubt, but it's fair. It's been a dang tough schedule. Yeah. Like, you know, we've played four good football teams. Arizona took number 7 Washington to the brink. They went to overtime. You know, but whatever it is, we got to just play the team that's on our schedule. And right now, we have been coming up short, which is frustrating.
You know, what do you think? I mean, I get your point that the schedule's been tough, but we knew what the schedule was. Like, we scheduled it.
And we want to be in a Power 5 conference. If we want to be in a Power 5 conference, we can't put too much into, well, we've played 4 Power 5 teams in a row. Like, yeah, we've never done that before, but our goal is to get to a place where we're doing that and more every single year.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're 100% right. And I just think it's frustrating that we've been unable to show better or come away with the close wins. And that's just, again, by making more plays and through execution. And that, you know, that brings me back to the retirement tour, basically just to say, you know, I think Taysom's had about 15 mediocre to bad quarters and one pretty good one. The pretty good one was capped off by 2 opportunities to win the game that ended up being interceptions. But those interceptions, you know what they did? They served as the reminders. They served as reminders of, you know, the frailty of our continuous march to our mortal end, Tosh. It's an uncomfortable notion, to be sure. And perhaps this is why so many people claim infallibility with our quarterback. Each one holding out hope that devastating injuries and age don't mercilessly deteriorate even the finest of corporal cross sections found in humankind.
You think that's the greater push? Is that we're trying to prove to ourselves our own immortality?
That's it. everything that's going on with BYU can be explained by people's natural fear of death, Tosh.
That is a bold take that I have not thought of.
You want me to keep it going?
Well, sure.
Maybe Ty Detmer subconsciously is... maybe he's threatened by Tanner Mangum. You know, Mangum did break all the freshman quarterback records. He has an opportunity to dethrone Ty at the top of the record books. Well, he had it. And now Detmer is able to preserve his immortality, which may have been challenged by Tanner.
That would explain why Ty decided to come back when he did.
That's exactly it. Of course, I'm goofing, and that I certainly don't believe that. But I do think that's where I'm at. I'm considering the psychology of people's fear of death. What do you think?
I mean...
Too bleak.
Yeah, it's obviously... Yeah, it's not what's happening. I think And in fairness to Taysom, you could make an argument he's had more than one good quarter. His fourth quarter against Arizona was solid.
Yeah.
His fourth quarter against Utah was...
Yeah.
Was dece.
He does great against prevent D.
He's great. He's been a fourth quarter man, which is ironic. His fourth quarter was Jekyll and Hyde this last game. He had his best game.
He did.
He ran for over 100 yards. Yes. He passed at a really efficient take. But I still, it's scary and funny is not the right word at all. That in his best game, he had three turnovers and really should have been four if it wasn't for we did a good job of jumping on a fumble.
Right.
And so it's just, it's been.
Including a pick six, which was just, you can't. Who else can you blame?
That was terrible.
Who else can you blame on that?
That was junior high level pass decision.
Well,
and no one's got to be more frustrated than Taysom.
Oh, of course. And I just think it's just really been a fascinating thing to kind of watch and try to wrap your head around. I don't know. It is for me. Been the whole thing with this season, and it's been a season of what ifs. It's what if we didn't lose by one? What if we didn't lose by three? What if we didn't lose by three again? What if Jake Oldroyd misses his field goal? What would we look like if we had Tanner versus Taysom? I mean, the whole season feels like kind of a missed opportunity, doesn't it?
In some ways, so far. I mean, but I'm actually past that. You could even. As the great book would say, maybe I'm past feeling this season.
Ooh, apathy.
No, it's not apathy.
Okay.
But I watch the games and get excited looking for progression more than I do. I mean, we're 1-3. I'm still stoked about this game, going to watch the game. But now, I'm looking on building this team to get better this season, but for future seasons.
All right, well... On that, just we like hypotheticals on CougarCast. We got an email from a fan of the show, Adam Karen. All right, he's a statistic major. Good luck up there on campus, Adam. Statistics, everybody.
It's not a wussy, easy route major.
So he says, Tosh and Keith. First off, I'm a big fan. I stumbled upon your program in my search to satisfy my hunger for real and supported football information. So he found it in the last postseason. Anyway, he loves what we have to say and he loves to hear it. So
great. We've tricked him so far.
Thank you, Adam. That's great. All right. So his question for us, it's premised here. So what he's noticed, is that from what he understands about the defensive theory of Coach Satake and Coach Tuiaki is that it tries to aggressively press the line of scrimmage and pressure the backfield with the goal of making plays for loss or turnover. It also presents a larger risk of big plays if a runner can break through into the secondary, get to the second level, or if a quarterback can make a big connection. So he says BYU has not seemed to be able to pressure the quarterback as much as they did last year. And he says, of course, granted, Bronson Cafusi was on the team last year.
Yeah.
First of all, this isn't his question, but let's talk about that for a second. Pressure on the quarterback has not been...
Oh, it's been terrible.
We haven't finished the play as much. And how many hits and hurries and things like that has it felt
not
like we've had?
Nearly enough. There's been way too many times where I'm yelling at the TV screen, too much time, too much... Because if you give a D1 quarterback... all day, he is going to find an open man. We are not getting hurries. We're not making guys uncomfortable.
That is especially true against Logan Woodside, the Toledo quarterback, but we'll get back to that. So his question for us, though, okay, is how effective do you think Coach Satake's 4-3 defense would be with last season's personnel?
It would be much more effective. I mean, last year... We did, as a fan base and as a show, whine about our D-line depth. But at the same time, he mentioned we had Bronson Cafusi, who was in total beast mode last year. And we also had a healthy Tulioma for pretty much the whole season. But those two guys alone, with you add in, Taki Taki, who, was, eligible to play about half the time, that we had a pretty good D D-line last year that would pressure the quarterback, where this year
We had Hanneman at corner and we had Wadsworth at safety. I actually think Hanneman at corner last year has been a little better than the two-headed monster of Will Cox and Troy Warner. What do you think of that?
No, I think that this year's corners, yeah, they've been getting beat, but they're actually in pretty good coverage when they get beat. Like, I think this year's defense is better, but I will agree with the premise of his email that our weakness and where we have taken a step back in my eyes is in our pass rush from our D-line. They've done a decent job on run defense except fourth quarters, but yeah, weak pass rush this year.
And again, no Tui Loma, no Kafusi. That's a step back.
Different Kafusi.
Yeah, that's right. We do have a different Kafusi. You're right. He also just said quickly, do you think Coach Detmer's offense would be more effective with last season's personnel? Based on the thing I've kind of been pushing in every episode. Yes! Yeah, I do!
But not everyone not named Taysom Tanner, I think it's pretty comparable. I actually think
that Mitch Matthews, Taron Houck, that combo was good.
And then added Jamal. Like, I think that the Jamal offsets, those guys.
How about this, though? Turn the tide on this. Remington Peck, better tight end.
Yeah.
He's a better tight end than Marshall, which is crazy to think about.
Remington Peck was a funny
what a weird storyline. Yeah, that was really weird. Yeah. All right, Adam Karen, everybody. Great email. If you have a question for us, cougarcast@gmail.com. Okay, Tosh, let's talk about the Toledo Rockets. Tosh, I have been preparing for this game. This is what you get when you go to CougarCast, okay? Guys that are watching Arkansas State versus Toledo, okay? You're watching Fresno State versus Toledo, okay? Let me tell you about Toledo because I've actually watched them, okay? I think most everybody else that's going to talk about them this week may not have actually watched them. So, okay, Toledo. Five straight non-conference road games, you know, games away from Toledo, they've won five straight of those, okay? They picked up a win against number 18 Arkansas at War Memorial Stadium, okay? They picked up a win against a ranked number 24 Temple team last year. Toledo's no joke. They're coming up, okay? They've got a lot of seniors on their team, okay? And don't underestimate this one. For Toledo, the game at BYU is their big one this year. Okay, it's conference play for them the rest of the way, obviously winning their conference. But in non-conference, their one chance to make noise this year and impress people, okay, maybe when it's time for that group of five selection even, okay? Yeah. One of the ones that they're going to look at is how'd they do at BYU. This is the big game on their schedule. Coming to Provo, Utah.
And it's not even close.
It's not even close.
This is what, if they've got a podcast or their local radio, they've been talking about the BYU game. This is the premier game on their schedule.
Toledo's head coach is Jason Candle. He was promoted from offensive coordinator. This is his first year as a full-time head coach. He coached them in the bowl game. He's 4-0 so far in his career. You know what? They're well coached from what I've seen. They play hard. They can score a lot of points. They're ultra explosive thus far this season in terms of their offense. Make it tough on the other team to score. They're very physical. And they have an edge, an attitude that is, you know, what you see from a mid-major program that's got a good team that's trying to command some respect. Okay? They're not afraid to go and kick people's butt. Okay, run up the score and make you look bad.
Yeah, they've blown out every team they've played.
They got up 38-0 on Fresno and then called off the dogs. So,
They still scored 52. So, yeah, it was a pretty aggressive call.
Some of the backups did good.
Yeah.
Okay. The point is when they've played lesser teams, they kick the crap out of them. You know what they remind me of, Tosh? They remind me of those good Mountain West BYU teams. In fact, I got looking at their stats, their numbers, and how they've measured out and everything. And you know who they remind me of? They remind me of the 2008 BYU Cougars. That's high praise.
That's totally high praise.
That's high praise. It's Harvey, Colley, Pitta, Max Hall. Okay? So let's talk about that offense.
Woo! That's where Because I'm torn on my level of respect slash fear of Toledo. Because on one hand, they have blown the doors off of everyone they've played. But they've played, in my mind, three weak teams. And it's hard to gain, I think, too much insight off of a handful of games. Like, for instance, the big matchup we could say off the beginning of this season is that they have a coach that has never lost a football game as head coach against our staff, which has never won a home game. You know, like, we're in trouble.
Yeah, but, that's true. But, yeah.
But I think that at the same time, and what does push me on Toledo's legitness is their quarterback. They've got Logan Woodside, who I don't care who you're playing. If you're playing D1 teams and you have 11 touchdowns to one interception, you're a dang good quarterback. He's making good decisions. He has a passer rating over 200.
That's number one in the nation.
The guy is the stat that really is just jumps off the screen. He's averaging 11.5 yards per attempt. Per attempt. That's a good per completion, yards per completion number. He's averaging that yards per pass attempt. That's 11.5.
That's number one in the nation. Okay. He's 11-2 as a starter. All right. He's 62.2. You know, as BYU fans, we got to respect Toledo. They were us. Like, yeah. We know that mid-major teams can be very tough.
And we also know from the Mountain West days that playing a bunch of weak teams and one really good team, a lot of times that works out. It's they're coming off of a bye week. This is their big team that they're playing this year. This is setting up to be a tough matchup.
All right, so Logan Woodside, like we said, he's first in the nation in pass per attempt, yards per attempt. First nation quarterback rating, okay? He's 17th nationally in yards per game, all right? That's with playing one less game than the 16 guys that are above him. All the other guys that were above him have played 4 games. He's only played 3. Okay? He has almost thrown for 1,000 yards through his first 3 games, Tosh. And, you know, he's been...
That's crazy.
He's been outstanding, okay? He's been outstanding. By the way, the 11.5 yards per attempt... Weight that against what Taysom Hill has done. Taysom Hill, okay, is 5.6 yards per attempt. That's last of the 99 qualifying quarterbacks in the country to be on that list. He is dead last in yards per attempt, okay? And when I looked that up, he is a full 0.8 yards behind the 98th place passer. That's Utah State's Kent Myers. So that's...
0.8. He's 0.8 behind
0.8 yards. Yes, that's correct. Jeez. So in order to catch up to Utah State's quarterback, he's 0.8 yards behind that per attempt. And so what he's doing at 11.5, I mean, he's almost double the yards per attempt that Taysom Hill is. So now let's talk about competition.
Yeah, the competition does matter.
Yep.
And we're going to find out. We'll find out on Friday if they're real or not. What I have noticed and been impressed with is that it's not like they have a dominant, like, big play wide receiver. They're spreading the ball out all across the board.
They do. They have a lot of options. Yeah, they do spread it all over. A lot of guys catch it. That being said, they do have one big play guy. Cody Thompson, their wide receiver.
Yeah.
11 catches.
His average is insane.
He's number one in the nation, yards per catch, 32.8 yards per catch. Okay, that's on 11 catches.
We got to say that 32.8 average yards per catch. But they got another guy.
BYU's only had one pass this year go over 32.8 yards.
They have another guy who's averaging pretty much 34 yards per catch. He only has 4, but still, I mean, they've got Corey Jones.
Yes.
He's got 13. He leads the team in receptions. You know, like, they've got some good receivers, at least against the competition they've played so far.
And then they have a tight end that they like to go to, too. When it's red zone time, you know how effective tight ends can be. Michael Roberts is who Logan Woodside looks to when they get into the red zone. They love going to big number 80.
Five touchdowns this year.
He's got 5 touchdowns this year. That is who they're targeting when they get to the red zone. And so that'll be really interesting. That'll be a nice challenge for Francis Bernard. I actually think that that's a matchup to look for. Francis Bernard versus Michael Rogers at the tight end.
Yeah.
And I think Francis has been I've been very surprised.
Oh, he's
pleasantly good. Surprised by how well he's played.
Amen on that.
So, and by the way, we've talked about their passing, but let's not forget Kareem Hunt, okay, the running back, 5'11", 225. Okay, he's expected to be a fourth rounder in the NFL draft this next year. Okay. He's getting 89 yards per game, okay, 5.24 yards per carry. He had a season where he rushed for 1,700 yards, okay? But the big thing is, as good as Kareem Hunt is, they roll three deep with their running backs. They're always keeping those guys fresh.
Yeah. I mean, they really actually have four guys that have 20 or more carries through just three games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're mixing guys in there. They have a very, if I was to say one word, it's balanced. They have a very balanced offensive staff.
And we'll see if they can prove it. You know, BYU will be a really good challenge for them. Advanced stats like them, they have them as the top 30, they're the 33rd best offense by advanced stats, which, of course, measure opponents and all that other stuff and how much you beat them by, explosiveness, everything else. So it's going to inflate them because of how explosive they've been. Even more impressive, advanced stats like that Toledo defense. Nobody ever talks about the Toledo defense, but the advanced stats like them, they're 16th in the nation according to S&P Plus, okay? 16th in defense. They keep the points off the board, but one thing that should make us feel good is they haven't forced any turnovers this year.
Huh. Yeah. Here's going to throw some water on this a little bit.
Yeah.
That they've played three teams. All three teams are terrible.
Yeah.
They played Arkansas State, too.
Yeah, 0-4.
Yeah, they're 0-4, and you think, well, they made a bowl game last year, but yes, but this year they lost to Central Arkansas, or some team. Central
Arkansas. Is that where Scottie Pippen went? I think it is.
The Bears of Central Arkansas beat them. They beat Fresno State, and you think, oh, well, Fresno State's a good team. Fresno State is not a good team this year so far. Fresno State, they lost to Tulsa. They got their butts kicked from Nebraska. Their only win is against Sacramento State.
Real quick, though, just as a fun kind of note, the Fresno State coach after playing Toledo, Tim DeRuiter, he said that Toledo was a bigger challenge, more difficult team to game plan for and to defeat, in his opinion, than the number 15 Nebraska Cornhuskers that they played. What do you think of that?
I mean, that's...
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll find out. The other opponent Toledo's beat is the Maine Black Bears.
Yeah.
No one even knew that team existed.
They're a great hockey team.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are...
You don't mess with the Black Bears in
hockey. They are an unheard of every other sport. And so, Toledo's stats are eye-popping. But no one's sure if they're legit, but their team knows that. Again, we've said this, but I'll go to that well again. They have this game. This is the game that could legitimize them, and every one of their players knows it.
So on the defense, just the defensive line's the group that worries me, okay? They got Trevon Hester. He's defensive tackle, 6'3", 300-pound load. He's active there. They think he's a seventh rounder. They also have guys that were... Of course, Mac, defensive player, Mid-Atlantic Conference. Mac, defensive player of the week, John Stepik coming into this game. Or 2 weeks ago, he was named that. He's a senior. He wears number 10. He's disruptive there on the defensive end. And then Adeniye, right? His first name is Olaspakanmi Adeniye. All right, and he's a sophomore, 6'2", 252, and he has been busy. They've been having a party in the backfield again, you know, opponents, but if the offensive line is as bad as everyone is telling me, maybe we should be worried. So, one thing the advanced stats have shown is that they think, okay, that Toledo is awful on special teams.
Yeah.
They have them ranked dead last, 128 out of all of the, all teams in the FBS.
Their field goal kickers kicking 50% so far this year. That is not the number that anybody's looking for. he's their same guy from last year. He was a little bit better last year, but at the same time, we are scared of our field goal situation at the moment, and I think they are too.
Yeah. Tosh, if you were attacking the BYU defense, do you think West Virginia gave any of the blueprint on how to do that? Because
The screen passes to the...
Toledo does a lot of that. They attack the perimeter. They go outside.
Yep.
What do you think? Do you think... Because there's a lot of talk about that. The perimeter, if you're going to beat BYU and score and be pretty effective against it, their defense like West Virginia was, you attack the perimeter. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not convinced yet that Toledo has the athletes that West Virginia does.
Right.
But that is the game plan, and that, I'm sure that's what they're going to try to do on offense. Yeah. Because no one else has been able to move the ball on us. West Virginia figured something out that works to get points up on BYU's defense.
Yeah. All right. Well, so it'll be really interesting to see how they do that. All right. Well, back to the big topic then. All right. Can we score points against Toledo?
Yeah, I say yes. Like, yes, there was many things to stress about from this last game,
yep,
but we at least proved that this offense can score.
Yes.
And that we can drive the field, we can put it in the end zone, we can put points on the board.
What did they do? What was the big difference for them? So for me, the big difference for them was boy, they really committed to running the football.
Yeah. For sure, they gave the ball back to Jamal, and he went off for almost 170 yards. They also, the O-line had its best game. There was lots of plays where Taysom had all day, where I don't think we'd had many plays all season where anyone felt like Taysom had all day.
Yeah.
I made the argument, and I still would, that our offensive line is better than people were giving them credit for. There was times he had sufficient time, but we had a game where we were giving him all day. And so those were the two big differences, and where Taysom looked more and more comfortable both passing and rushing, just from a comfort level, than he had in any game previous.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one of the things that they didn't do in the first half, they only tried one pass over 10 yards downfield. Just one. They tried one attempt downfield. In the fourth quarter,
we were trying like every pass.
In the fourth quarter, they threw eight passes downfield. They completed four of them. So the point is that, you know, it's like what helped them to be more explosive? Well, they started. Why did they score twice in a quarter for the first time this year? They were able to. I mean, they got over 10 points in a quarter. That was the first time they'd done it all year. And they were able to do it because they were gaining chunk yardage. Like what I'm saying, I'm not crazy, man. Sometimes I feel like I'm crazy based on some of the talk that I get sometimes. You know.
No, I mean, big plays wins ball games, and we at least were trying for big plays.
At least we were trying it. Yeah,
and it was working.
Well, and the other part is if you throw it downfield, you're going to get a pass interference like one out of five times anyway. So, like, that's a free first down anyhow. So, it is. It's really fascinating to me to kind of take a look at that. So, all right, there we go. So, you think the offense is going to continue to build on it? I think that they got to continue to pound the rock. They got to just keep handing it off to Jamal and let it go. And unfortunately, again, we've said it maybe early, but I'll say it again. I don't feel like we have any other viable guys back there.
No.
To run. And why haven't we tried Algie, though?
That's what I was just going to say.
Why aren't we handing off to him instead of
Squally? He doesn't
Squally?
Get any carries
yeah.
anymore.
He was okay running. Like, it wasn't
and
like he was bad.
Like, Dye, has he got a touch in the last, like...
Has he even been on the field? I don't think he's been on the field for a down.
I think against Arizona, he...
Trey Dye was out there once?
I think so, but maybe my mind's playing tricks on me. But we have done nothing running the ball besides Taysom and Jamal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the stats that I have on this is that I believe the Cougars, if they handed off to Jamal 15 times or more in a game... Okay, I think that they are 15-6 in his career, and when they're under 15, it's something like 4-12 or something. Like it's that. I should look up specifically on the loss side, but I know on the win side it's 15-6, and this was one of the rare games where we lost when we really relied on Jamal. So
yeah.
Anyway, I think that's the way they got to go forward. And can we talk? They're going to keep going with Taysom Hill.
Yes.
Of course.
Yep.
So he just needs to be a game manager, right?
Yeah, he's got to put up points, though, you know, too.
Yeah, but whenever we've looked for him to make plays, he
needs to cut down on the turnovers. Yeah, so if that's the game manager, yeah, that's... But
take a loss, let's punt, like, let's throw it away, let's whatever it is, right? But manage this thing so that we're not...
I mean, that's what sucks from this last game. We could have won it, and we turned it over 4 times.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. You can't... You got to cut down turnovers.
Also, one-on-one. Also, rest in peace, Jamal Williams, no fumble streak.
Yep.
It was really...
Broke our hearts.
It was really impressive
he had that streak.
It was really fun while it lasted.
That was not fun when he fumbled, but yeah. We'll give him one in his career. No more.
Really, really fun while it lasted. All right. And now it's time... For 10 for Tosh. Ten questions for Tosh McIntosh. All right, Tosh. These are not opinion, right? Are these opinions?
No, these are facts.
They're facts. Okay. All right, good.
These aren't forecasts. This is what is going to happen.
This is what's going to happen. All right. Question number one. Over, under. Taysom Hill is averaging 1.5 interceptions per game this season. How many does he throw over or under 1.75 interceptions?
Under. Like, he hasn't...
Toledo hasn't forced a turnover yet.
He's going to throw one, but he's not going to throw two. So he's going to be under 1.75.
Is it a pick six? That's not a... It's not
no.
One. Okay.
No, he tackles him.
So he's going to have as many tackles as he does picks.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. It's not, but that's okay. Question number two. How many carries will Jamal Williams have?
He will have 24 carries. They are going to pound the rock to him this game. Toledo hasn't faced a line as big as ours and a back as great as ours. He will have 24 carries.
Totally agree with that. And if they... Basically, if they get away from Jamal... They're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And if Jamal's tired, let's try Algie.
Yeah, Algie's proven he can have...
He's not that bad. I mean, he's a little fumble prone, but so what? Like, yeah. He at least...
So is Jamal now.
Well, but it's not like squally thus far. It just seems like he runs into the line of scrimmage and falls over. He looks a little Adam Heaney-y.
Yeah.
Except for Adam Heaney was really good against UCLA last year.
He broke out and became good, so hopefully Squally can.
Question number three, in three games, okay, in just three games, Toledo has 11 plays from scrimmage that have gained 40 yards or more. That's second nationally, and again, that's in three. Most everyone else has played 4. So they're second nationally, 11 plays from scrimmage over 40 yards in three games. Through 4 games, BYU has 10 plays from scrimmage that have gained 20 yards or more. So... Here's the prop bet, Tosh. Will there be more... Will Toledo have more 40-yard gains? Or will BYU have a higher total of 20-yard gains? So more 20-yard plays by BYU or more 40-yard plays by Toledo?
BYU will have more 20-yard plays by a large margin. I think our BYU's offense is rolling in the right direction. And Toledo's offense is going to put up some big plays. But we will out-big play them, especially with this handicap of ours only needing you 20-plus to count.
All right, question number 4. BYU is perfect in the red zone this season. Will that streak continue?
Yes. Yep, we will score every single time we go to the red zone.
All right. We were worried about kickers before the season, but hey.
And we still are. But
so come on, we have two now.
That's true. He looked decent this game. You know?
Yeah,
give
man.
Him some credit.
I'm drinking that almond milk. No question.
Nice. Like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even lactose. I just like it. I'm not even lactose intolerant. All right. Question number 5. In their last home game, the fans booed the BYU offense. Tosh, by the way, we got an email. I was blamed.
You were?
I was blamed.
Nice.
I was
you are a powerful man.
I was the reason that
you were conducting
were
the booing. Didn't you have a sign that you were holding up? Boo!
Boo these people! yeah. So no, I wish I was that influential. That would be freaking awesome. But anyway, the fans booed the BYU offense. Will that happen again against Toledo?
No. No, it will not happen this week. Will it happen again this season? Yes, it will not happen again this week.
Ooh, that's a prediction from Mississippi State, ladies and gentlemen.
We could go on a whole nother rant. Let the fans be fans. If they want to boo, they can boo. If they want to cheer, I don't boo my team like they're going to the game for, but people get so worked up over policing other fans. It's hilarious.
Kalani Sitake says it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that will tell you enough. But Bronco didn't think it was fine.
No, it hurt his feelings. But I'm either way, they're emotional. Fans are emotional by nature, but we will not boo the BYU offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than just being like apathy.
It's better
yeah.
than not showing up.
That's correct.
If they want to pay and come and fill the stadium with passion, let's do it.
All right. Question number six. BYU continues to force turnovers on defense. They've got 11 takeaways through four games. All right. That's an aggressive defense, forcing a lot of takeaways. All right. How many turnovers do they force against the Rockets?
Three.
Whoa!
One pick, two fumbles.
Okay.
Again, I think the Rockets are going to give us a run, but they have not played a team that's as physical defensively as us. Butch is going to lay some hits on guys that they have never experienced in their life.
And since we're 1-3, I feel obligated to say something about altitude. We gotta bring up everything that maybe helps us.
And age.
Yeah, we're physically mature. we breathe thinner air than they do.
That which will cause at least three turnovers.
Good. Question number seven. Who is going to be the next BYU player to attempt a hurdle when scrambling in the open field with the football?
This is a two-man race. We have two players. Kai Nakua and Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
That they, every time they're running with the ball, they are looking for a chance to jump.
Well, there's a guy that touches it all the time and a guy that touches it every now and then. It's got to be the guy that has it all the time.
You guessed correctly. Yeah, okay. Taysom will have another Taysom leap. But this one's going to be more a la the Boise State game a couple years ago where he jumps and everyone's wondering, why did he jump right there? That's the stuff. We're going to have that jump.
Accidentally hit the Y button.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the triangle button.
Yep.
I love
depending on your system.
Love my PlayStation people. I'm a PlayStation
person. Me too.
All right. And then question eight. BYU 0-3 on two-point conversions, Tosh. Will they score a two-pointer this week?
No. We will not score a two-pointer this week. But we will attempt one. We are going to keep that going for two streak alive, but we will not get it this week.
Okay. Well, will they attempt it simply because fumbled snap
do it just
or something?
To flip off the fans.
Just if, yeah.
But on our first touchdown, he's just going to Oregon style go for two, but we won't get it.
Get off my back. We're going for it. Yeah. Will he call another reverse pass? What do you think?
No, it will be a flea flicker.
A flea flicker. Statue of Liberty!
Yeah, it'll be a,
That would be, okay, all right, there you heard it here. Question nine, Kalani Sitake, when excited, has done the gator chomp. He's done the King Kong pounding of his chest. He's also done the flying chest bump celebration. What will be his celebration this week?
He is going to do the fishing cast, reel him in.
Alani Fua.
Yeah, exactly. He's pulling that out this week. I was dying laughing at his gator chomp and King Kong were within 2 seconds of each other. Those were a combined cheer this week. And he thought about doing the FSU, the tomahawk chop.
Maybe that's the next one. He's going to do the FSU tomahawk chop while doing the Lambo leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lambo leap. Yeah. No, he's saving those for later on. This time it is the cast, reel him in.
All right. Alani Fua will be smiling somewhere. And question 10, what will be the Saturday morning headline?
The Saturday morning headline will be get ready for conference.
Ooh!
I mean, maybe the papers have moved on, sadly. No, the real Saturday morning headline will be the Cougars rock the Rockets, and then with the sub-headline, get ready for conference.
All right, yeah. Ooh, good. All right, there it is. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. Just take it to the bank. Those everything there is happening. Any conference predictions? I'm glad that you brought up conference. How many temples?
There will be six. There's been six before.
Six in one sitting?
That's insane.
It is insane.
They've done that rain before.
Oh, man.
Six. Write that down.
How many domestic? How many foreign?
Three and three.
Right down the middle.
You think of it that way. That's not that many.
Right.
Another one in Utah County. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, some others elsewhere.
I got a question for you. So when President Hinckley was the prophet,
uh-huh.
he built a temple in Preston, England, because it was his greeny area as a missionary. Also,
there was
it's,
a need there. I'm
there's
sure.
also a hub. There's also a hub
but
of LDS.
But it was special meaning to him. Yes,
but there's a hub of LDS people there who needed it. So assuming, of course, that it was directed by God and also something that there was a need for, where on the earth would you put a temple?
So
if you
we're
know
we're really going on a tangent here, but here we're going to go.
Yeah, let's
take
do
this
it.
One step further.
Yeah.
So in the book David O. McKay, A Rise to Modern Mormonism, the church really discussed hard.
Where'er thou art, act well thou part.
Have they discussed in, I believe it was either the 60s or 70s, having a traveling temple on a boat. That it could go to different ports.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to help, yeah, people that are far away, some people on islands and people different places in the world. And so that's the bold prediction is the...
A cruise ship.
We bring back a temple, a traveling temple.
I've had the idea that they should make the front runner that goes from Provo. It takes, you know, what if we could figure out a way to make that a place where you could get it done? You ride the front runner.
It's too
and get it
small.
Done.
And we got it. We can't make it too convenient, or else then it's going to lose some of its value.
See, you would do the boat. You don't. You're a world traveler. You don't care.
Yeah, I think the boat would be great. It would saints that live far away would be able to have.
Look at this guy.
They'd be stoked.
Are you? Are
Can you imagine? That?
Are you from Viking heritage? No, you're Scottish all
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. But the local congregations would really rally knowing that the traveling temple is coming this year. It would help.
The traveling.
It's been discussed before.
I like it. Yeah, no, yeah. You're right. It's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good. Well, there you go. Conference predictions. I predict two unwanted naps from me that I wasn't trying to have, but I'm going to doze off twice. There's one for me.
You got to take some pills for that or something.
You know what's a good tip? Subtitles.
I
turn on the subtitles. It helps me.
You just need to stand. You need to stand. That's your fix.
Another one is don't. I mean, it's nice to be in your pajamas, but don't do it all day.
Yeah.
How about that?
We're giving a lot of conference tips this
you
week.
You know what? It's a big deal.
Anyone who stands through every session of conference, email the show. We will give you a shout
Instagram
out.
Instagram it.
We will give you a shout out.
Hashtag stand for Gen Con.
Yeah, or stand for something. You know, hashtag stand for something.
All right. Well, late night game, 8:15 kick, Provo, Utah, high in the mountains. Good Toledo team coming. And, you know, I'll get it started. Listen, I don't know how much more I can say other than I don't know that the offense is going to be something that is really going to really come together at any point. I just think, like I said, the best formula for it, if you're going with Taysom Hill, have him be a game manager, no turnovers, have him attempt like 25 passes max, and then just pound the run and see what you can do from that. I actually think that's probably your best chance. The worry, of course, is you have to be really good in the red zone. I don't see that changing, Tosh. And I think against Toledo, I do believe in their offense. I do think that they can attack our defense in ways that are going to make them successful. And while I don't think they'll be as successful as West Virginia, I still think they'll score too many points for us to be able to respond. So I do. I'm going to take Toledo in this game. I like them. Give me the points, right? Give me spread and money line. I'll take Toledo 28, BYU 20. Cougars will just be undone simply by having to settle for field goals instead of touchdowns.
No, Toledo, it's possible. You know, they've blown the doors off of everybody they've played. I Here's one thing that's been crazy to me. Vegas has got every single BYU game right this year.
Yeah, they're 4-0.
BYU has also covered the spread in every single game, but they've predicted the winner every single time. BYU is who Vegas picks to win this week, but just by four. You know, they don't think that we're going to blow the doors
off.
Well,
and that's 3 points because of home team.
Yeah,
if it's neutral field, they got them.
It's almost a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I think it's
execution. It's mistakes, right? I mean, that's the other bit. Anyway,
we're going big. We're going to go beat them 38-24, and that we're going to have big runs. Taysom is going to have some plays, some yards after catch, receiving plays that he hasn't had this year. I think that our defense forces turnovers. Toledo has not played a team of our caliber this year, where we have played four really tough teams, and I think it all comes together. The other thing, if BYU, this is a must win for BYU to make a bowl game. I don't know if fans realize, but we have to go 5-3 from here on out.
All right, let's do it real fast, okay?
So we need this win.
So we feel really good, right? Three home games at the end of the year. So that's Southern Utah, Massachusetts, and Utah State. I think we're beating all three of those, okay? But five-game stretch. We got Toledo, at Michigan State, Mississippi State, at Boise, at Cincinnati, okay?
Yeah.
At worst, if they want to play in a bowl game, they need to go 2-5 in those games.
Okay? And that's planning on winning all three of the games to end the season.
So there's a cut, and you got to win all three, you know, finishing out the season. So here's the deal. So you have two at home, Toledo and Mississippi State. And then what? The next one, on the road games, you don't feel good about Michigan State, though they looked a little shaky last week.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Sure made him look silly.
But Wisconsin's might be good.
Yeah.
And then at Boise? Boise sure looks good this year.
That's a 50-50 game, if we're even being optimistic, I think.
All right, and then at Cincinnati, they're always dangerous. At home, they score a lot of points.
65% chance in that one, but it wouldn't be shocking. Like, it's a tough place. They're a good team on the road.
All right, so they got to – you know what, though? What'll happen is they'll win – it's their first year coaches. Weird thing happen, right? So they're going to get either Michigan State or Boise, but then they're going to drop one that they think that we got to get, like Toledo. So
we'll make the playoffs, but this game
not
is
the playoffs.
We are
not making the playoffs.
Playoffs are out. That is optimistic, Tosh. We will make a bowl game, but this week is big in us making a bowl game.
Yeah, I absolutely. If they really are going to get there, I think they got to get past Toledo. Otherwise, they gotta take two out of but probably home to Mississippi State and at Cincinnati is the most likely path. So, but that's the thing. I mean, isn't that crazy? They could be 3-6, and we're like, well, we're still in a position to get into a bowl game.
Yeah, we don't want to be there.
We don't want to be there at all. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. And by the way, you are listening. Okay, last week we were the top rated podcast in sports, college sports, on iTunes. Thank you, everybody that listens to us. Please rate us 5 stars. Give us positive reviews. We certainly appreciate it. Email us at cougarcast@gmail.com. And you know what? We weren't joking. Watch conference. Be really good about that.
Yep. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!